Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
Welcome to The Big Lead. I'm Ryan Glasspiegel. We are here with Matt Jones, who is the founding editor of Kentucky Sports Radio. He hosts a radio show of the same title. They are launching a restaurant soon, KS Bar, and it was announced today that he's going to have a new ESPN radio show on Sundays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, previewing the NFL with Myron Medcalf and Dan Orlovsky. Matt, how have you solved the problem of having 28 hours in a day?
Well, I tell you, I don't know the answer to that question. This will be the busiest fall that I've ever had. But, you know, ESPN was – I have tried for a long time to – somebody to believe that I could do something besides UK basketball. One of the benefits of success with UK has been getting opportunities, but then a lot of people always sort of see you as the UK guy. So when finally something happened where they said, you know, look, we're going to let you try a completely different sport on a bigger platform, I felt like I kind of had to do it. Although for 4 or 5 months, it's going to be, I would say, pretty hellish to get back and forth to Bristol every weekend, but I think it's going to be worth it.
Oh, wow. You're doing it from Bristol. So you're getting FaceTime with the suits and everything. This isn't like a post up and do it remotely type thing.
No, they wanted me to go there. I don't know if it'll be like that all year, but they wanted me to start there. So, you know, I'll finish my shows Friday and head up there and, you know, maybe sleep, 3 hours a week, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, so I wanted to get into the restaurant thing because that was honestly what the timing was why I wanted to have you on. That is opening very soon. What's your goal?
Well, my goal with it was pretty simple. We are always looking in Kentucky for ways to sort of expand the brand. I mean, I think the biggest thing to success in media today is branding, because there are so many different outlets. Things have changed so much from when I started in 2005. In 2005, if you were at all unique and different, you could find a voice and find a way to get heard. And in 2018, you can be unique and different and still get lost in the clutter just because there's just so much out there and so many people that have voices in all these different mediums. So I think branding becomes maybe the most important thing. And, you know, we have here in Kentucky a radio show, a website. I do a television show, and I thought, okay, so how can we expand the brand? And in Lexington, there just wasn't a great sports bar, we didn't think. And I thought that would sort of fit in with what we were doing. And it opened Saturday. It's been quite an undertaking to get open because it's a restaurant, but I think it's going to be successful for us. At least I hope it is, because it fits in naturally with what we do, and it just takes our brand to, you know, a different place.
Rank the three in terms of what you're guessing is going to be your biggest business days: a college football Saturday, NFL Sunday, and a Kentucky basketball game day.
That's a great question. I would say college football Saturday will be the biggest for us because you can be there longer. Right. So you got the pregame and the game, and then it goes on all day there in college football. That's the one sport in Kentucky where people will go from noon to midnight and want to see all of it. The NFL is big here, but there's no local team. So I think the NFL will be good days for us too. But I think college football will be the biggest. College basketball, it'll be wild during Kentucky games. I mean, wild. But will it be as big the whole day? Probably not. So I would say college football, but you get a big Kentucky basketball game. Like when they play Duke on November 6th or whatever, that's going to be as insane and as insane a 2 or 3 hour period as we'll have.
One more question about the restaurant. So I think the biggest differentiator of a sports bar are two things. It's the screens and it's the food. And then within the food, I think the entrees are pretty standard, but the appetizers is where you can make a difference. What are some of the appetizers that you're excited
about?
Look
at you. It's like you own a restaurant or something. Like you've got it, everything you just said.
I like to go to sports bars. So that this is kind of like my thing. If you look at my Instagram, it's all food and dog pictures.
Yeah, you hit it exactly right. I think the screens are big. So we have like 100, we have a 170-inch screen, which is the biggest in the city. So we have a ton of television. We have the best television setup of anybody. The food, I agree with you, appetizers are huge, and we've created sort of some very Kentucky-centric, so like nachos that are kind of hot brown nachos, and we have we've got a lot of beer. A lot of our stuff has beer cheese on it, Kentucky beer cheese and bourbon based food. So there's, I think the appetizers are crucial. But the other thing is we've tried to make every type of Kentucky centric food a big part of it. So we're going to have a really, really good bourbon selection, for instance, because in Kentucky, you cannot do a restaurant unless you're good on bourbon. So it'll be, the goal was to make the best sports bar for Kentucky, and that's what we've tried to do.
Switching gears, I want to get to your local radio show. I don't remember the exact numbers, but you tweeted them out a couple weeks ago, and you're on a ton of affiliates, and you just had a dominant book. Can you tell me about the amount of people that are just like listening to your show all across the state?
Yeah, we have 40 affiliates across the state, and we are the number one show in the markets that are, you know, that are where diaries and meters are taken, which is Lexington and Louisville, with some pretty great numbers. I mean, we've gotten up to a 20 share at times in Lexington, but we're number one in Louisville, even though we don't cover U of L, the main team in Louisville. And then online, we are often pretty consistently the number one college sports podcast on iTunes. And, you know, people who've dealt with iTunes know that they don't give you exact numbers. So it's kind of, it can be kind of difficult going through them, but through our downloads, I mean, I would say with some confidence, it's probably the biggest local college centric sports show in the country. Now there are obviously some in major market pro sports shows that are bigger, but for college, I think it's probably the most popular in the country.
So you got to guest host Feinbaum earlier this month, and there were two things that stuck out to me. Number one, I guess lucky is the wrong word for it, but having the Urban Meyer story break at a time where you're getting an opportunity like that and just have such a remarkably relevant topic to just discuss ad nauseum there is, I guess, for you, lucky. And then the second is, you had a preconceived plan to have a Louisville buddy on to make the case that Louisville has a real shot at beating Alabama in their college football matchup to rile up the Feinbaum crazies. I guess it's tough as a two-part question, but do you want to address both of those ideas?
Yeah, well, the second one first. So when I've hosted Feinbaum in the past, I think Paul really likes that. I don't know if he would admit this, but I think Paul sort of thinks I do the show like he used to do before he was on the SEC network and all that, which is kind of rile up the callers, have fun with it, goof off. And so I have a friend, Drew Franklin, and I, and we love to kind of sort of go at it with people. And then one day he couldn't do it, so I asked Tony Vannetti, who's a big Louisville person, and we did it, and he, you know, Louisville playing Alabama this year. So it really worked out well. And that's really been how I've hosted Paul Feinbaum. When I host, I always tell him, don't give me any guests. We're just going to do our thing. And so I'll do 4 hours with no guests. Well, then the last day I host at noon that day, the Urban Meyer story breaks. And, you know, immediately you have to throw all that out the window and you have to say, okay, we have to treat this as what it is, which is a serious story. And it was the most nervous I've ever been for a radio show, because I was the first person on an ESPN platform to interview Brett McMurphy. And there was all that controversy about how ESPN hadn't talked to him, et cetera. And then I'm interviewing him to start the show. And then there was also, look, this is a serious topic with a very delicate conversation, and you're doing it with Feinbaum callers, and you don't know what they're going to say, and I don't know who's what and all that. It ended up being a great experience, and I think it's in part why I ended up getting this thing for the NFL, because, you know, I actually took off my radio host hat and put on my legal hat from my days as a lawyer, and sort of went through the case and dissected it. And it ended up being a really rewarding experience. And, you know, it's obviously a terrible situation, but I got thrown into the fire sort of on it. And I think it ended up going pretty well.
There was a Politico story about you a few months ago where it's basically you intend to take on Mitch McConnell and beat him for one of the two Kentucky Senate seats in 2020. Now that you have all these other things popping, is that still your plan, or are you putting that on the back burner?
Well, the story was that I'm considering it, and I am still considering it. I've not committed to running yet, but okay. I'm actively considering it, and these jobs don't change that for me, really, the calculus. I mean, I have decided that, you know, if I decide to run for Senate, then I'll put all the sports stuff to the side, but that I was going to continue to run my life as if I wasn't going to do it, because if I didn't, I wanted to still be able to have career opportunities. But basically next summer, really June, July, August of next summer, I'm going to sit down and make the determination if I'm going to do that. The Politico story talked about a lot of the reasons why I want to do it and why I think that I can win and why I think that, you know, I would be a good senator. But at the same time, you know, I'm not ready 100% to commit to it. It's a very difficult decision. And, you know, I've got a good life. These jobs are great. But at the same time, being a U.S. senator, if I were able to do that, would be a much more important, no offense to any radio show, but much more important than that. And if that becomes something I decide I want to do, then I'm going to go ahead and pursue it.
It's no secret that ESPN is depoliticizing. Have they had any discussions with you in the lead up to this weekend radio show where you're not allowed to, I don't know, bash Mitch McConnell on something or weigh in on other political issues? Or has that not been something that's been brought up so far?
Yeah, nothing's been brought up. And I wouldn't do that, to be honest with you, because not because they said to or not, just because I don't care to. I mean, I'm not one of these people who says that you can completely cut sports and politics off. They intersect on some things. But for me personally, that's not the kind of show that I like to do. Like, so I do a TV show in Kentucky that has political elements to it. And in that forum, I'll give my opinion, talk politics, etc. On my sports-based shows, I might touch on it, but I think these shows ultimately for me to do them well, they need to be fun. Like, I think people take sports way too seriously. And so for me, I do it from kind of a fun standpoint. And I think that's partially what ESPN wanted. I have no idea. I mean, they may tell me don't talk about politics, or may not. I don't know, but it won't matter if they do or not, because I wouldn't, just because I have other forums where I can do that. So I don't feel the need to do it the way that other people do, but I'm not criticizing for that. People should do exactly what they want. But for me, I'm not going to be using ESPN to do that. For a long time, I was on the UK basketball broadcast, and there was all this worry, well, Matt's going to talk politics. Mm-hmm. In 4 years, I never mentioned it once, and I didn't feel any need to throughout the time.
I'm going to put you on the spot here about Kentucky basketball. If you had to do a starting five of players on the Wildcats in your lifetime, who would it be?
In my lifetime? That's a good question. Well, the center's Anthony Davis, for sure. I think Jamal Mashburn is for sure. Kenny Walker is for sure. And John Wall is for sure. I think those four are definite. And then I probably would throw in Tony Delk as the fifth. So I'd go Wall, Delk, Walker, Mashburn, and Anthony Davis. And I'll tell you what, you give me those five, I'll take on anybody you want.
What's your Mount Rushmore of personal Kentucky basketball moments?
Oh, see, man, you got all these good ones. I would say, well, I was on the floor when they won it in 2012, and I, you know, anybody who's a fan of any kind of team, when you can sort of be there when they win the ultimate prize, so that's there. In 98, they beat Duke. After losing in 92 on the Leitner shot, they played him in the Elite Eight and beat him, which was a great one. Beating Louisville in the Final Four, the year Kentucky and Louisville played each other in the Final Four. And then I think the 96 Kentucky team that beat John Calipari at UMass and then Syracuse in the finals. I am biased, but I think that's the greatest college basketball team of my lifetime. And that team was so dominant that watching them throughout the tournament was pretty great.
What's the biggest misconception about John Calipari nationally?
I think John Calipari is not what people think he is, and not, for instance, what I thought he was. I mean, when he was at Memphis, I used to crush him. He never stops giving me a hard time about it. He brought it up just yesterday on my 40th birthday show, but I always thought he was exactly the stereotype that everybody thinks, which was that he was this recruiter who was kind of on the edge of following the rules and all this. And what I didn't know until I got to know him is what just a good person he is. And what you see is what you get with him. I mean, the bottom line is when you hear him say players first and all that stuff that probably makes you roll your eyes, he means all of it. I mean, he really does. And I think he is the one person in college basketball that calls out the hypocrisy for what it is. College basketball makes everybody money except the players. And John Calipari has noted that many times. I think he is seen as this sort of lying, conniving, et cetera. But I think he's the one honest person in college basketball, to be honest, because he calls it for exactly what it is.
Do you think Rick Pitino deserved to lose his job, or was the evidence inconclusive in your opinion?
He deserved to lose his job 10 years ago. I mean, think about what all he was involved in. I mean, he had the thing with the woman at the Italian restaurant, which many coaches would have lost their job then, and he got a raise. Then you had the stripper scandal in the dorm where they were basically paying prostitutes to be with recruits. He survived that, and then the FBI scandal. Now, the FBI scandal was probably the one with the least evidence. But you know what? There comes a point that, you know, he shouldn't have survived the two before. So not only should he have been fired, I think they kept him way longer than they should have.
If you had to kind of fix the NCAA paradigm, what would you do for the new rules for player compensation, et cetera?
For player what now? Oh, compensation? Well, I think the players should be able to own their own image. I mean, I think that's, you know, it's hard to pay players, although the colleges could, but they couldn't pay them nearly what they're worth because there's a lot of schools. Kentucky could do it. Louisville could do it. Duke could do it. But Eastern Kentucky could not. So, like, if you want to have a system where there's some level of parity on even theoretically, it's going to be hard for schools to pay players. But there's no reason that a player shouldn't be able to own their own image and do whatever they want. And they can get – and, you know, they could get endorsements. And, by the way, that would help college basketball because I think a lot of guys might, with an endorsement, stay and finish school. Now, Anthony Davis wouldn't, but a kid that's like a borderline first-round pick – but
like
he has
Harrison brother, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And has a shoe deal, might decide, okay, well, I've got a shoe deal and I can stay in college until I'm ready to go to the draft. I think it's a no-brainer to do it like that. And at some point it will probably happen. But if they don't do that, college basketball is in trouble in the next 2 years. Because at some point, if they get rid of the one-and-done rule and they really amp up the G League and start paying salaries, college basketball is going to take a hit, and at some point, college basketball needs to decide to save itself. And kids being able to own their own image, I think, is the way to do it.
What is the best college basketball arena environment you've been besides Kentucky?
Well, Kentucky's not the best. I love Kentucky, okay, but it's not the best. The by far number one best arena in college basketball is Kansas. I mean, I went to Duke, so I've been to many Duke games. I'd probably put Duke number two, but Kansas is one. I mean, you feel the history when you walk in. their crowd, the thing that I think is great about Kansas is the crowd is great no matter who they play. At Kentucky, if Kentucky fans are awesome, but they're also a little spoiled, and so an average game is not great, and it's a huge arena, so you have 24,000 people. At Duke, they're into it for the big games, but they're not at their core college basketball fans. They're just kids who happen to go to Duke. So, like, great games are awesome, but average games are so-so. But you go to Kansas, every game, people care. It's a small enough arena that it's loud, and there is no better chant in sports than Rock Chalk Jayhawk. So I think it is by far the best in-arena experience.
Do you put Kentucky at 3, or would you slide Indiana in between there, or what?
Yeah, for a game-in, game-out basis, I'd probably put Kentucky at 3 just because we care more than most others. Indiana's awesome in a big moment, but then they don't even sell out for most games anymore. So maybe back in the day you'd put Indiana. You know, there's some small arenas I think are really good. I think Michigan State can be really good. I've basically now at this point been to every big college basketball arena. And the thing that you learn is Kentucky, Duke, Kansas, they bring it every night. North Carolina fills the arena every night, but their fans aren't very rowdy. But everywhere else, it just kind of depends on how big the game is as to how good the crowd is.
Is there anything I didn't ask you that you want to talk about right now?
I don't think of. I would say this, though. You guys with Big Lead have been doing this almost basically about the same amount of time that I did KSR.
Since 2013, early 2014. But yeah.
Well, yeah, but the site's been there a lot longer.
Site was launched, I believe, in 2006.
Yeah, so it was launched right Jason when I launched KSR.
Jason's done a great job with it.
Yeah, I launched KSR at the end of 2005. And it is amazing how much the media has changed. But it's also amazing how few of those sites remain. Like, you go back to where we all were in 2005, like, nationally, Deadspin and Big Lead are like maybe two of the only ones that have persevered. And even on the local blog list, they all got bought up, and there aren't many independent things. So, you know, it's amazing how much media has changed in that amount of time. And it's a kudos to you guys that you are still going strong.
Thank you so much, Matt. We really appreciate your coming on, making time for us in between all of the aforementioned busy projects. Once again, that is Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio. If you're passing through Kentucky and Lexington, hit up his sports bar, KS Bar, that is opening this Saturday. Thank you again, Matt. We appreciate the time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye, Matt.
Thanks a lot.
Touch turns strange.